And they answer the call of God upon their life. Amen. To where the shepherd leaves and amen, we can still have service. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I just thank God, amen, for allowing me to be able to preach this message here this morning. Amen. God put a word on my heart, and I'm going to share that with you. Amen. You know, I've been a part of the ministry of Victory Outreach, amen, since I was about 14 years old, amen. Of course, you know, not the whole 14 years, I was a saint, come on somebody, amen, was I living for God and on fire for Jesus, but at the age of 14 years old, amen, I was born and raised in Southern California. I was out there running amok, amen, involved in gangs. I was, you know, I come from a broken family, you know, a lot of things, amen. You know, our testimonies here in Victory Outreach are a dime a dozen, amen. Yes, yes. And, you know, but I thank God because it was there that I had an aunt, and she was raising me at that time. And I was getting involved in gang activity, and they were coming close to the house, and they were breaking windows, and they were making threats, and, you know, the rival gang. And my aunt, amen, she was a God-fearing woman, her and her husband, David and Stacy, amen. And they, at that time, they were attending Victory Outreach. Amen. They were attending Victory Outreach there in Southern California in Anaheim. Amen. And that's where our world conference is going to be next year in Anaheim, California. Amen. And so it was there, amen, that they gave me an ultimatum. They said, you know what? This danger is coming too close to the house. Amen. So you got to go. Amen. And so they said they were going to send me to a boot camp outside of, you know, outside of California somewhere. And they said, you know, you either got to go to this boot camp, you got to get out of here, or we're going to give you a choice. And that choice was to come to church. She goes, so you make your decision. You either come with us to church, and you know, and you have to come with us. Every time we go to church, you have to come with us, or you can go to this boot camp. And I said, well, my God, that's an easy one. Right? Don't send me to no boot camp, right? Amen. Don't send me out of state. And, you know, so I said, all right, amen, I'll go to church with you. And I was 14 years old. And little did I know anything about Victory Outreach. Amen. Because she went to church and we have service. Come on. Sunday. Amen. We have three services on Sunday. Huh? We have, right, this service. We have gang service. We have the life flow. Then we have life groups in the middle of the week. And then we have Fired Up Friday Night service. And then we have rallies during the week. And then we have, come on, and then we have a lot of things on the week. So in other words, she was going to church like almost every day. And I had to go with her. She tagged me along, and I went to Sunday morning service, and then she made me go to the gang service, and she made me go to the gang convention, and she made me go. And so I was just like, man, what did I get myself into? I was probably better off going right to the boot camp. Amen. But little did I know that God was doing something, that He was up to something, because it was there that God was planting the seed. It was there that even though I didn't want to be there and I didn't want to go, that I was sitting in that seat and the Holy Spirit was tugging on my heart. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I remember making altar calls as a young person, and I would go, and there was so much hurt in my life. There was so much pain in my life. Amen. And I would go to these altar calls, and it was there that God would touch my heart. It was there that they would say, who wants Jesus to come into their life? And my hand would spring up, and I said, you know what? I want Jesus. Amen. But how many know that it's not that easy, amen, to serve God? Come on, somebody, especially at a young age. Because you have the world, and you have, you know, you have your friends, and you have, you know, all kinds of different things tugging at you and pulling at you. Amen. So it was a little difficult for me, but nevertheless, I remember giving my life to Jesus at a young age. Amen. And look what God has done. Amen. Today, amen, I humbly say, you know, God has, you know, man, God has moved in my life in a tremendous way. I've had an opportunity to direct a men's recovery home for, you know, for almost 6 years. Amen. And I've seen God's miracles every day in our Christian recovery homes. And I've had the privilege to partner up with my pastor, amen, and to help pioneer and build this church. Yeah. Amen. I've been with our pastor for, you know, over 7 years now. And God has been, you know, using my life. Amen. I've had an opportunity to go across seas. I went to South Africa. Amen. I got to do missionary work there. And, you know, now I stand here, a man that is getting ready. Amen. I'm getting ready to go to another city. Come on, somebody. Getting ready to get launched out. Getting ready, amen, to plant the flag of Victory Outreach and the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ in another city. Amen. And boy, if you would have told me that, I would have laughed at you. Right? If you would have told me that growing up, I had different plans. I had a different agenda. I wanted a different lifestyle. But how many know that God interrupts? Thank God that He interrupts our miserable life. Yeah. Amen. Because even though your life might have seemed that it was all good. Amen. Oh, yeah. You were living the dream. You were living the life, right? But, you know, and deep down inside, there was a void in your heart. Amen. And Jesus can only fill that void. Amen. And so here this morning, you know, I thank God for my pastors, Pastor Francisco, Sister Sylvia. Amen. I thank God for my dad. I don't see him. Amen. I don't see him. There's more wave at me, Dad. Where are you? Oh, he's in the kids' gang. Amen. He's taking care of the kids' gang. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm sorry. I get to, not only that, but I get to serve alongside my dad. Amen. I'm up here preaching to the congregation. He's back there preaching to the little kids. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's God. Amen. That is God because At one time in my life, I you know, we didn't have the best relationship, amen. For lack of words, amen. I'll just say that, and you know, but look what God has done. Amen. God took my dad through the men's recovery home. Yeah. I seen God do a miracle in his life, and there I followed suit, amen. So fathers, amen, you know, be an example, amen. Know that you are an example, amen. Whether you go left or right, you're an example, amen. So let's keep it right, amen. And so I thank God for my family, my dad, amen, and you know, thank God. And I want to preach a message to you, and you can turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. Amen. And I title this message, Let Go. Let Go. Tell your neighbor, Let Go. Let Go. Let Go. See, this message, amen, you know, it's very important, amen. It's very important what I'm about to share with you on, you know, because it could determine a whole lot of things. Come on now. It could determine a whole lot of things. And this is where, you know, some people, they struggle. They struggle in letting go of things in their life. You know, because God says to, you know, draw near to me and I will draw near unto you. But sometimes we don't want to draw near to God because the things that we're holding on to ain't so godly. And so it's like, man, how can I go draw near to a holy God, but yet I'm holding on to some unholy things in my life? And see, so it's so vital that we learn to let go. That we got to let go. Amen. And I remember being, you know, being there at a young age, 16, 17 years old, after God had, you know, planted the seed in my life. And I remember I wanted to serve God, but I wasn't ready to let go of some things. Because I was like Pastor Francisco, I didn't want to play with God. Come on, somebody. I didn't want to play church. I didn't want to play with God. And I felt that I needed to get some things in line before I get ready to serve the Lord. Amen. But it was there, amen, that I would struggle. I said, man, I don't know. One day I want to serve God. And when I serve God, I want to serve God right. I want to walk with Jesus right. But little did I know that you come as you are, but you need change. You come to church. See, so many people, they don't want to come to church because, you know, they feel that they're holding on to some things. Amen. But you have to understand that, you know, that you come with your hang-ups and come with your problems and come with your issues and come with your mistakes and come with, but leave change. Amen. See, all you got to do is take that first step and walk into the house of the Lord. Open the door of your heart and let Jesus in. And then, my friend, watch God do the miracle. Watch God break through. Watch God. Come on, somebody. Right? So, let go. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. Minister to our hearts. God, help us to let go God, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. We all say amen. Amen. Verse 17 reads like this. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. You honor your father and your mother. Mother and father, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 20. Teacher, he declared. Now he's not calling them good teacher. What happened? It says, teacher, he declared. All these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and he loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will, there's a promise, you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth.
Wow.
The problem was is that he did not want to let go.
Wow.
He did not want to let go of his riches. He did not want to let go of what he had. Come on, what he probably worked hard for. Either he worked hard for it or he inherited it. Either way, he didn't want to let go of it, my friend. And so he left Jesus sad. He left Jesus with his lip dragging the floor because God asked him, hey, I need you to let go of something and then you can follow me. And sometimes whenever God asks us that hard, when he tells us that hard thing, hey, I need you to let go of this. Sometimes it's hard for us and we can't receive it.
Amen.
And so we walk away.
Wow.
See, but here today, I believe that God is going to give you the strength, that God is going to give you the power, that God is going to give you the ability to let those things go.
Amen.
To let them go. Amen. See, I want to talk to you about living a lifestyle, amen, of letting go. Living a lifestyle of letting go and letting God. Most of us will, you know, we will let go of some things. Keyword, some things. Right? Me, you know, some of us, we don't have a problem with letting go of some things. But it's those things that are so dear to your heart.
Yeah.
It's those things that you just love them way too much.
Wow.
Right? You love them. And they can get in the way of you and God. Yep. See, you have to understand that we could not have come this far as a ministry in Victory Outreach unless some people let go of some things. Huh? We have got here because men and women have sacrificed. They let go of some things. Amen. They let go of their Isaac. They let go of their treasure. They let go of their talent. They let go of, come on somebody, they let it go. And because they let it go, God was able to use them. Like Pastor Sonny Arganzoni and Sister Julie, over 50 years ago, God had asked them to let go of something, and it wasn't riches.
Wow.
You know what it was? He asked Pastor Sonny to let go of the needle. Let go of the heroin. Let go of that addiction. My friend, you know, it doesn't have to be riches that you're hanging on to. Amen. It could be that thing that is holding you down. That drug addiction, that depression, that loneliness, that thing in your life, or the pride, or, you know, the selfishness. Whatever it is, God wants you to let it go.
Amen.
And see, because people have let go, like our founders and our elders, they let go of some things. And why? So they could focus on the call of God. And because they have done that, we are here over 50 plus years later with 500 churches and rehab homes all around the world because they let go. See, you know, I was taught something early, amen, and I thank God. It's called the open hand policy, amen, that you, with God, you have to have the open hand policy. Don't hold on to it so tightly, my friend, because if you have a closed fist, God can't put nothing in it. So you got to let it go. Tell your neighbor, let it go. See, the message that, you know, that I'm about to preach, amen, it's not a popular message. This is not a popular message. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, you know, it might ruffle your feathers a little bit. It might even rock your boat. Come on, somebody. It might cause you to squirm in your chair. It might cause you to get up and walk out. And some of you might even think twice about coming back. But you may even be offended. You might disagree. But I want to let you know, guess what? That comes with the territory of being a preacher. It's not popular. Come on, somebody. Because why? The prophet of God, if you study the Old Testament, amen, they often try to kill the prophet of God. They often try to kill the people who bring the message. Now, I know here today, you ain't, come on, somebody, ain't nobody trying to do that. Amen. Here, I hope not. Praise the Lord, amen. Because then we'll might have to try that tactic that pastor said, right? All the ladies are going to scream what?
Jesus!
All the ladies are going to scream what?
Jesus!
And all the men are going to do what?
Throw a chair!
Oh, praise the Lord. Trying to keep her fresh. Amen. Trying to keep her. Right? See, but I thank God that we don't have a congregation. Come on, that you can sit in your chair and you can receive the word. You can take it in. Amen. Even though it don't feel good. They often say we don't read the Bible. Why? Because it's a constant slap in the face. We read it. Oh, man, I don't want to read it. Right? It offends us sometimes. But it's okay. That's what the Word of God's supposed to do. You know, and see, you have to understand, too, that, you know, we're not in the business. Pastor Francisco is not raising up preachers that are in the business of tickling ears. Amen. We're not in the business, come on, of sugarcoating the message of God. We're not in that business, my friend. We like it. We like it all. The full counsel of God, from Genesis to Revelation. We will eat that word. Come on, somebody, right? And so you have to understand here this morning. Amen. I want to point a few things out here in this text. As we read this here, we see the rich man. He's a young rich man. Amen. And the Bible says here in verse 17, it says that as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. See, this man, I don't know what it was, but he had an urgency inside of him. He could not wait. Amen. He seen Jesus and he booked it. He ran over there. Amen. And he got on his knees. Why? Because he noticed something, that there the king was there, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus was there. And there was an urgency. Man, I wish people could run to the house of the Lord like that. If only people ran, if only people knew that there's an urgency that Jesus is going to come back, my friend. And tomorrow is promised to no man. Amen. That within a twinkling of an eye, come on, Jesus could come back.
Wow.
So we have to have an urgency when it comes to the things of God.
Yes.
We have to have an urgency in Acts in chapter 8, verse 26. If they have that, amen. You can put it on the screen. Amen. See, this man, it seemed like he had an urgency and he was desperate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any scriptures back there? No, maybe? Oh, there it is. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. If we can go to the next one. So he started out on his way, and he met the Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship.
Oh, come on.
And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. He was reading the Bible.
Come on.
Yeah.
Verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah and the prophet. And he said, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him.
Amen.
That was a good disciple. Amen.
Amen.
This is a passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? He's talking about Jesus. Amen. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is a prophet talking about himself or someone? Is he talking about himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Wow. I mean, thank God about the good news about Jesus.
Amen.
As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?"
Hey, come on.
And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. He did not want to wait. Once he heard the good news, my friend, he said, "Come on, baptize me.
Yeah.
What do I got to do to be baptized?" My friend, too many people nowadays, they're wavering in between the decision. And I understand that, because it took me a while to surrender my life to Jesus. It took some things in my life to happen for me to surrender to Jesus. But you have to, I just want to remind you here this morning, amen, that our time is limited.
Yeah, amen.
That there's an urgency, and we see that in the young man here.
Amen.
Amen. Don't tarry long, amen, in choosing, amen, to let go of the world and come to Jesus.
Right.
Amen. And here this morning we see in verse, amen, we see here in verse, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, if they have that, it says, "Elijah went before the people and said, 'How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him.' But the people said nothing." See, my friend, we have to make a decision. Are we going to be with Jesus? Are we going to follow Jesus? Are we going to let go and let God?
Huh?
See, one other thing that we see here in this young rich ruler is that he came and he got on his knees. Huh? That was a sign of humility, that he ran to Jesus, amen, and he got on his knees, amen, and he humbled himself before Jesus. See, the problem is that so many people nowadays, they don't want to get on their knees.
Yeah.
They don't want to stoop down. They don't want to humble themselves.
Yeah.
My friend, you have to learn how to humble yourself.
Yeah.
Amen. Because you either do it now or you're going to do it later. Because my Bible says that every knee will bow,
yeah,
and every tongue will confess. So I'd rather bow willingly than having Jesus make me bow.
Huh?
See here that this man, he came and he ran up to Jesus and he humbled himself before Jesus. Even though he was rich, he did not let that pride, he did not let the pride or his ego stop him, amen, from getting on his knees. Amen. We have to be a people that we learn how to humble ourselves underneath God.
Amen.
Huh? See, this world nowadays, they want to take God out of everything.
That's right.
They don't want to humble themselves to God. Amen. But how many know that we got to be a people that we stand on the Word of God? Because the Word of God says this, that if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. That God will lift you up, my friend.
Yeah.
Let God lift you up here this morning.
Yeah.
I want to let you know there's some things that, my friend, that there's some benefits in humbling yourself.
Yeah.
Huh? There's a few things.
Wow.
The first one, amen, is that you will be exalted. You humble yourself and you will be exalted. The second thing is the other benefit is that you're not prideful. Come on, somebody. Right? You're not proud, because the Bible says that pride comes before a fall.
Come on now.
Pride comes before a fall. Amen. And the third thing is this, is that the third benefit is that if you humble yourself, God won't have to do it for you.
Come on now.
That's a benefit.
Amen.
I've been humbled before. My friend, I told God that this is back in the day when I was living in California, I was running amok. I said, I made a promise to God that I was going to come to church on a Friday night. And did I go to church?
No.
No. Right? I went to a party instead. I was there at that party, you know, that I was out there and I was partying and I ran into a rival gang member. I was right there on Whittier Boulevard. I was at a taco shop. I was getting my grub on. And then I seen a rival gang member. And then I seen him, and then, you know, confrontation, you know, popped off. And, you know, there I was. I was chasing him in the middle of the highway on Whittier Boulevard. He turns around and he ran me over. He ran me over. This guy tried to take my life. He tried, right? But guess what? Nothing happened to me. I didn't have a scratch. I didn't have a bruise. I wasn't bleeding. It was a miracle. This guy tried to take me out, but God kept me alive. Huh? And it was right there that a light bulb turned on in my head. Huh? You should have been in church, and this wouldn't have happened. If you were in church, this wouldn't have happened. And I dare to say that there are many of you here that there was times that you should have been to church. You should have came to the house of God. Yes. But you didn't. Amen. And you went left. Instead of going right, you went left. And it was there that you came face to face with, come on, it's something that could have took your life. You came face to face with the devil himself, my friend. But God spared your life. God spared you. God rescued you. Amen. He gave you another chance. He wants to give you another chance here this morning to serve Him. Because we serve a loving God, a graceful God, a merciful God. So this man here, he humbled himself. He seen Jesus and he humbled himself. See, but you know, one thing that is worse than no humility is false humility.
Oh, come on, somebody. Come on now.
One thing worse than having no humility is having false humility. And if you really dig into the text here, you begin to see that this man, that even though he ran to Jesus, and even though he got on his knees, that this man, that he had a different agenda, that he had a different motive. My friend, he ran to Jesus, but I think he did it out of false humility.
Wow, come on.
Ask me why. Because here in verse 18, or in verse 17, he says this, and take into mind that he was a rich young ruler. He was a rich man. And he says, good teacher, he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Like if you can do anything, come on somebody, right? I bet you Jesus was looking at him and says, you know what? You're not going to do nothing. I'm going to do something. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to pick up that cross. I'm going to die for the sins of the world. You don't have to do nothing. All you got to do is believe in me. Huh? Right? So he says, what could I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, I think that he was just after the inheritance. Huh? That he was after whatever God, whatever, you know, was going to come with the kingdom of God. Amen. And he says, how can I inherit eternal life?
Amen.
See, false humility. God, Jesus knew his motive. Jesus, not everyone who calls God good really means it.
Wow.
Not everybody who calls God good really means it. My friend, you got to understand that we have to be truthful with God. That we have to be real with God. Because God sees right through it. And maybe this is not for some new people. Maybe this is for some people that are in the church. Right. Maybe for these, this is for some people that you've been serving God for a little while.
Right. Help us, Lord.
But it's okay because God is a merciful God.
Amen.
What did Jesus do? Jesus looked at him and he loved him.
Immediately.
Huh? So my friend, if you ever encounter a situation like that, when somebody is having some false humility, and you can see it because God has given you a discernment, you don't beat them on the head with your Bible. Huh? No, you love them like Jesus loved you. You got to learn how to love them. Right? See, this guy, he could have fooled me. Come on, somebody. Right? This guy, a rich guy, he came up to me. If he would have came up to me and he would have asked me, hey, how could I inherit eternal life?
Come on.
I would have been like, here, sit down. Right? Have a seat. Right? And I would begin to break it down to him.
Yeah.
I would have said, look, well, first you gotta repent. Second, you gotta give your life to Jesus.
Yeah.
You gotta open the doors of your heart. You gotta let Jesus in. You gotta say the sinner's prayer. My friend, then you gotta go to the men's home. And then you gotta go to church. And I would have gave it to him. How can I inherit eternal life? Right? Put your faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
But Jesus seen right through that. He said, man, you don't believe in me.
Wow.
Huh? Jesus, right? He says, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? In other words, he knew this guy's motive.
Wow.
He knew this guy's motive. He knew that he wasn't after the relationship with Jesus, but he was after the riches of the kingdom of God.
Huh? Wow.
And he still loved him. Don't we serve a good God?
Amen.
Huh? See, there's a few things, amen. This guy, like I said, this guy could have fooled me. Amen. And I would have broke it down to him. But Jesus here, he was dealing with his belief system. He was dealing with his belief system. And then he begins to tell him, you know the commandments, right? Some of us, we know the word of God. We know the command. We know that we shouldn't be, that you shall not murder, you shall not steal or commit adultery. We know the word of God, but are we living the word? And we see here that this young man, he says that he says, I've kept all of those.
Yeah.
Jesus said, oh, really? Then maybe you should die for the world. Right? Because you're perfect. This young man wasn't perfect. The Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of God. That we all, come on, that no one is righteous. No, not one. Oh, but I thank God for the gift. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for what he did. Amen. Are you excited for what Jesus did in your life? See, well, a few things, amen, that I wanted to share that we need to let go of. Amen. That we need to learn how to let go of some things in our life. Amen. And since the topic that Jesus was dealing with here, amen, with this rich guy, amen, is he was dealing with them in the area of his money.
Wow.
And there's a few things, but one thing here is our money. We have to learn, and I knew I wasn't going to get no amens.
Man.
I knew it. Matter of fact, I got real quiet. I was like, ooh. The holy hush. Right? See, we got to learn, and I'll tell you why. And I'm going to break it down to you why we have to be a people that we know how to let go of our money. Say, everyone say, let go.
Let go.
Say, have your money.
Oh, Lord, have your money.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 24.
Uh-oh.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money.
Wow.
We need to learn to let go of our money. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe I'm going to get some amens
Amen.
After I explain it.
Amen.
Says that. See, why? Because it says that money can be a master.
Wow.
Money can be a master.
Wow.
Money can be your master. It can rule over your life.
Wow.
It will dictate what you do. It will tell you what to do. It will tell you when to go, when to wake up. It'll tell you when to go to sleep. It'll tell you don't go to church because you got overtime, my friend. It will dictate your life. You will be devoted to it. You will try everything you have to do to make it. You will, come on, you go to school to get a degree just so you can get some money. You will be devoted. See, it's okay to have money. Tell your neighbor to tap on them. It's okay to have money.
Hallelujah.
It's okay. But what I was taught is that you just can't let money have you.
Oh, come on now.
Don't let money have you.
Amen.
Don't let money control your life. Don't be devoted to it. You got to be devoted to God.
Amen.
You got to be devoted to, amen, to serving God. See, many will miss the rapture because their pockets are too heavy.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Right?
Damn.
They got heavy pockets. They hold it heavy. They got a fat bank account. And because they got so much, they love it. And it's hard to let go of it. It's hard to let go. And I understand. Come on, somebody. Right? But I believe that God instituted the tithe. Someone say the tithe.
The tithe.
I believe that he instituted it into the church for our own good.
Right.
For our own good. So that we wouldn't have this love of money.
Amen.
So that we wouldn't have a master, a taskmaster over us telling us what to do. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
The money. Right? See,
That's good.
I believe that God, and I thank God for tithing. I've been tithing for ever since I was in the men's home. Come on, somebody. Right? I would find money. Right? $10. I wouldn't find much, right? But I would tithe off of it. And if you a lot of people in the home, they weren't like that. Come on, somebody. Because in the home, you don't get a lot of money. Amen? You don't get a lot of money. And why? Because if you get a lot, you have a lot of money and you're in a recovery home, you just might be tempted to leave. And go do what you were doing before you came into the home. So that's why. Come on, there's a $10 on your pocket rule in the home. Amen. But anyways, see, I would learn how to tithe there in the home. I would get, come on, I'd get my dollar, or I'd give a penny. Amen. I probably wouldn't even do that. I would just give the whole dollar. Amen.
Right?
But anyways, you know, tithing is something that God instituted so money wouldn't have rule over us.
Right.
See, it reads in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. One day you're going to have it, one day it could be gone.
Yep.
But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment.
Right.
Huh? He said, Paul was telling Timothy, hey, to command these rich people, to command them to be generous. Right. To be generous and not to get tied up in money. And in Timothy chapter 3, verses 1, if they have that, it says, I think it's the other Timothy, right? Maybe you don't have that. Well, good thing I have a Bible, amen. Praise the Lord. How many, wave your hand if you brought your Bible here this morning. Right? Okay, turn your Bibles to Timothy. This is an important scripture, or I would tell you, let's go to the next one. Amen. Timothy chapter 3 verses 1, I think it's 1 Timothy, or let's see, 2 Timothy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where is it? Amen.
Where the T's are at.
It says here, okay, it's I'm sorry, it's chapter 6 verses 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10. It says this. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Tell your neighbor, let go. Verse 11 says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith, love, endurance, and gentleness, to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. But you can't do all that stuff if your love is connected to your money.
Wow.
Huh? So that's one thing that we got to learn to let go. That we got to let go of our money. When money is your master, it will affect your relationship with God, with people, and your church. I'll say that again. If money is your master, it will affect your relationship with God, with people, and with your church. See, if you don't give your money, it's because you love it. If you don't give your money, it's because you love it. And I'm not just talking about to the church. I'm talking about to in general, being generous, being a giver in general. See, it's it. And the reason why I say that, ask me why.
Wow.
You won't let go of something you love.
Wow.
You won't let go of something you love.
Wow.
The things that you love, you cherish, like your wife, like your husband, like God. You will hold on to it. You will not let go of it. My friend, you will hold it tightly to you. Why? Because you love it and you don't want it to leave you.
Huh? It's heavy.
If you don't give your money, it's because you love it.
Wow.
If you won't let go of something, why? Because you won't let go of something you love. Amen?
Wow.
Another thing that we have to learn how to let go of is the world.
Amen.
Someone say the world.
The world.
We have to learn how to let go of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. We have to learn how to let go of the world. Let go. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to be in it, amen, if you're going to serve God for the long haul, if you're going to be effective for God, if you're going to see your whole family won over to God, then you have to learn how to let go of the world.
Amen.
We can't have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You can't come to church on Friday night, amen, for Fired Up Friday, and then after that you go to the club. Come on, somebody. Amen. You need to go to the streets after with us. Amen. You need to come on, win some souls. And I know, and I told you before, you right? I told you, I gave you a warning. This might ruffle some feathers.
All right.
Huh? But it's okay, because you know what? God is going to see you through it. God will see you through it. God will give you the strength. God will give you the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that showed up Friday night. If you were here Friday night, then you've seen the power. Come on, that hit the young people, that hit the people of God. Amen. And that's the power that we need to serve God. That's the power that we need to let go of those things in our life. That's the very power. The Bible says that is the power. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives inside of you.
Hallelujah.
Imagine that. That same power that raised Jesus from his lifeless body from the grave is the same power that lives inside of you.
Wow.
Tell your neighbor, let go of the world.
Let go of the world.
And we have to let go of it. And we have to embrace the cross. Let go of the world and embrace the cross. It's not a popular message, but we need to do it. It's necessary.
Yep.
Another thing we got to learn how to let go of is our past.
Wow. Help us.
You got to let go of your past.
Come on now.
We have to learn how to let go of it. All the hurt, the relationships that are not good for you, the mistakes, the memories, the hang-ups, those things, those deep scars inside your life, the past that you keep everywhere you go with you. You have it in your back pocket. You won't let go of it. Everywhere you go, you take it with you, my friend. You carry that past everywhere you go. But it's time to let go. It's time to let go of your past hurts. It's time to let go of those things that are holding you down. They're holding you back from serving God.
Wow.
The Bible reads in Philippians 3:13, it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it,
right,
but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind,
bam,
and straining toward what is ahead of me.
Man.
I pressed on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Forgetting. We have to learn how to forget. The Bible says to cast your cares unto Jesus because he cares for you. That's why it's important to make altar calls. That's why it's important to pray to have a prayer closet.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. To have a place of prayer to where you're able to get down and you're able to cast those cares unto Jesus. How many thank God, amen, that Jesus is willing to take all that from you?
Yes.
Yeah, we got to learn how to forget some of those things.
Amen.
Let it go. And the fourth thing, amen, that we have to learn how to let go of, amen, is you have to learn how to let go of your life.
Wow.
Let go of your life.
Good.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and 20, the word of God reads like this. It says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Tell your neighbor, you're not your own. The next verse. Okay. Amen. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. That price is the price that Jesus paid on the cross for your salvation. So don't hold on to your life. In other words, what I'm saying is that you have to know that God has a plan for your life. In Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, for I know the plans that I have for you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. You got to learn to let go of your life. Amen. Don't hold back your life from Jesus. Let God use your life. Let God use your gifts and your talents, my friend. I know that there's some more people in here that you're called to be preachers and you're called to be pastors and you're called to take a city and you're called to run a life group and you're called, my friend, to be a part of the God's anointing now generation. You're called to be be on the worship team. You got it in you. You're a drummer, my friend. You probably can play the saxophone and worship Jesus and take it to another level in God's presence, my friend. But you got to learn to give up your life. Raise your hand if you play saxophone. I've been waiting and praying. Amen. Right? Let go of your life. Let God learn to let go of your life. And then you know what this is going to take? This is going to take for you to trust God. It's going to take for you to trust God. Huh? I didn't believe me. When God told me that I had to go into the men's recovery home, I was 18 years old. And I know that it was a year long in the home. A lot of people, they struggle with that. They struggle with the year. Why? Because that, you're giving a whole year to God.
Wow.
A whole complete year to God. Or whatever, however much time you're in the home. You're giving it to God. It's like the home, amen, will cause you to deny yourself.
Amen.
Every single day, you got to get up, you got to pray, you got to be in chapel, you got to come to church, you can't get a job, you can't have a cell phone, you are fully devoted to God. I said, man, you want me to do that for a whole year?
Yeah.
But that was the day that I said, you know what, God, I want you to take control of my life.
Amen.
My life don't belong to me, it belongs to you.
Yes. Good, Pastor.
As I call the piano player up. See, we have to learn to let go. We have to learn to let go here this morning. I want you to think about what's holding you back. Maybe it's something that I mentioned. And there's so much more. There is so much more that we have to learn to let go of.
That's right.
You know, relationships. There's some people that you're hanging out with that, my friend, they're keeping you from surrendering to God.
Hello.
There's some things that you're watching on YouTube that are keeping you from thinking about, you know, is Jesus God? Is he, you know, you're listening to stuff. You're listening. There's so many influences in this world that distract you and rob you and steal from the life that Jesus has came to give to you. The life and life more abundantly that God has called you. But my friend, there's some things that they have been robbing you. They've been stealing you of enjoying your life with Jesus.
Wow.
Huh? And you know what? The thing about it is that they don't have control over you. You have control over it. You just got to let go. That's it. God, I don't want this addiction no more. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of smoking. I'm tired of doing this heroin. I'm tired of this alcohol. I'm tired of this dirty mouth of mine. I'm tired of going to the clubs late at night. I'm tired of spending all my money in this place and that place. I'm tired of this man, this relationship that I'm in. I'm tired of it. And God, I'm letting it go. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to surrender my life because I want my life with you. Don't let nothing hold you back. Like I said, don't let money, come on. Don't let money, man, steal you or turn you off from church.
Yes.
Can I say that?
Yes.
Can I say that here this morning?
Yes.
I want to be real with you. I want to be real. Right? Because I got a flesh just like everybody here.
Right.
We all got a flesh, and that flesh could lie to us and deceive. The Bible says, don't deceive yourself. Do not be mocked. Don't deceive yourself. Right? Galatians chapter 6. Right? Sometimes all they want is our money. All they want is a pledge. And all they want, right? Yeah, we're givers here in Victory Outreach. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And we will pray. I pray that God will, man, that He will give you a breakthrough in that area.
Yes.
Because the first thing that gets, right, they say the first thing that gets saved, amen, is you. The last thing that gets saved is your wallet.
Come on.
But I thank God. I thank God that money doesn't rule over my life. Money doesn't rule over my life, and I will freely give. I will freely give. Why? Because I'm grateful for what God has done in my life. Are you grateful, Victory Outreach? Some of you shouldn't be alive right now. You should be, matter of fact, you should probably be in prison right now. You should probably be, come on somebody, in a hospital. Why? But I thank God that He spared your life. He spared my life. He rescued us. Amen. And there is nothing that I will not give in return for what God has done to me. Let's all stand here.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Close your eyes, lift your hands as you call up the worship team. Come on, just lift your hands, close your eyes. I want you to just think about those things. Think about those things that are holding you back. Those things that you haven't let go of. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe you struggle with pain. You struggle with emotional and mental pain. You struggle with physical pain. You struggle whatever it is, whatever's keeping you from fully. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe, you know, a boyfriend or girlfriend or kid. You know that God has called you. God has been tugging at your heart, and you haven't fully surrendered because you're worried about what that other person will think. If they will leave you, if they'll stay with you. I know there's some things. There's got to be some things in your life that God is speaking to you right now to let go of. Just got to let it go. Just got to let it go. Just let it go. If God spoke to you here this morning, I want to open these altars. There's some things that you need to let go of. I want you to come symbolically, leave it at the altar. Leave it. Don't pick it back up and take it back with you. Amen. But whatever it is, I said, God, you know what? I need to let this go. I need to let it go. Bring it to the altar. Bring it to God. The Bible says to cast your cares unto Him because He cares for you. We're going to pray for Sister Renee. She's feeling pain in her leg. In
her right leg.
So we serve a miracle working God. Amen. That God will take that pain away. Amen. And we want to pray. She's having struggling with walking. Amen. And so we want to pray for her. And I want you to go ahead, if I get some women and then the church, if you could stretch your hands, amen, towards, amen, Sister Renee. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we command that pain to flee. God, we pray right now, Lord, that you would touch her leg from the soles of her feet to the top of her head. God, that you would just begin to, God, heal her. Put your hands upon her leg, God. Remove that pain. We rebuke, God, that arthritis. We bind it up in the name of Jesus. God, we believe your word that we are healed, that she will be healed by your stripes, Lord God, that you would take that pain, God, Lord, because it was nailed to the cross, Lord Jesus. God, we pray that you would heal her, God. Lord, we pray for a miracle, Lord, here this morning, God. Lord, let her be effective for you. God, take the pain, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, we ask, God, all this in the name of Jesus. Everybody says amen. Is there anybody else? Maybe you're feeling pain. Maybe you're hurt. You need prayer. Amen. Anybody else? You need. If you're here, right now is the time. If you need prayer, what do you need prayer for?
Arthritis in my back. Cruciate disc.
Okay, we're gonna pray for Brother David. Amen. If you go ahead and stretch your hands for Brother David, we're gonna pray that God will remove the arthritis, that God will heal his back. Let's pray, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Brother David to you right now. Your word says, where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst, oh God. So, Lord, we command that pain to leave in Jesus' name. There is power in that name. There is authority in that name. God, we pray for his back, Lord. Touch his back. God, heal his back right now. We believe that you can do it. We believe that, God, if you raise come on, someone, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Right here. Amen. If you're here this morning, and you know what? You said, I know I gave it as the last point to give your life to God. You got to let go of your life, right? Well, if you're going to get saved, then that's what you have to do. If you're here, if you want to be able to do all these other things, let go of, you know, your hurt and your pain, and you want to let go, you have to first release your life to God. Amen. So if you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to get saved, the Bible says that today is a day of salvation. Amen. And so if that's you here, amen, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray. If that's you here, just simply repeat this prayer. Say, Jesus,
I believe
that you are the Son of God. That you died on the cross
for my sins.
I believe
in your power
to forgive me. So wash away all my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Amen. One more thing, amen. As you make your way back to your seats, amen. I want to do one more thing, amen. I want to challenge you here, amen. Here this morning, to what we're going to do in response to the altar call, amen. In response to letting go, amen, and letting God. We're going to pick up a second offering here this morning. So maybe you came late. Amen. Maybe you came late and you weren't able to give your tithes or your offerings. You can do that now. Amen. But those of you who are here and you say, you know what? I believe that the devil broke the chains of bondage of selfishness upon my life. Huh? Amen. We're going to give to the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to pray and then we could come on up. And if you don't have nothing to give right now, then you can just come up, touch your basket by faith. Next time you will have an offering to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come before you right now. We ask, Lord, that you will bless, God, the second offering. Bless, God, the whole service. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, we all say amen and amen. dismissed. Amen. We thank you for coming out. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you are dismissed. Praise the Lord. We will see you tonight for game service for Life Flow at 6 p.m. And then also tomorrow, don't forget that we have our Labor Day picnic. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm not sure. I don't want to go to the link, but I'm at Thank you. Exactly. Yeah, that's what people are looking for. Did you go down? No.
Yeah.